Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house on the second Sunday of the season that we call Eastertide. As we certainly celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we certainly want to encourage everyone, if you will, please to sign the registration pad. It normally starts there at the center of the aisle there. If you would then pass that on to your neighbor, we'd deeply appreciate that, if that helps us keep in touch with everyone. In your bulletin, please note the registration sheet for signing up for the next series of dinner groups that will be from May until August. And you can fill out that flyer and put it in the bulletin, or from the bulletin, and place it in the offering plate. And we also can encourage you to call Gail Gentry if you have any questions. Those who participated in the dinner groups this last quarter, please also fill out one of those forms, because we just essentially start all over again and everybody gets assigned to a different group. So it's a fun way for us to get to know more people in the fellowship of the church. So we'll be encouraging folks to fill those out the next couple of Sundays so we can be ready, as May will be upon us soon. There is an RSVP in the bulletin for men to fill out and place in the offering plate. This is to help with preparations for the supper for the April Men's Fellowship meeting, which will be on Thursday the 27th. Ladies, please be aware of the Church Women United meeting on the 5th of May and the CWF Steering Committee on the 8th of May. And any family that has graduating seniors, please convey graduation information to Carol in the church office so your graduates can be recognized. And that recognition will take place on the 21st of May. The deadline for the information to Carol is Monday, the 24th of May, so we can make sure we get that in the bulletin, etc. It is a joy to be in the Lord's house, and Ryan, we welcome you to open us up with our call to worship. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. If the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from death, lives in you, sin pays its wage, death, but God's free gift is eternal life in union with Christ Jesus our Lord. We'll now sing hymn number 233, all stanzas of Alleluia Sing to Jesus.
Alleluia, sing to Jesus, risen now to reign in love. Alleluia, praise the Savior with the multitudes above. There the songs of saints and martyrs thunder like a mighty flood. Jesus, out of every nation, has redeemed us by his blood. Alleluia, not as orphans in sorrow now. Alleluia, Christ is near us, faith believes nor questions how. Though the cloud from sight received him, when the 40 days were o'er, shall our hearts forget the promise, I am with you ever? bread of heaven, be on earth our food and stay. Alleluia, hear the sinful flee to you from day to day. Intercessor, friend of sinners, earth's Redeemer, plead for me. Songs of all the sinless sweep across the crystal sea.
May we pray. Merciful and loving God, for the privilege we have to offer praise and worship this Lord's Day morning, we give you thanks. We pray that the meditations of our hearts and our songs of praise may be acceptable to you. For as John chapter 4, verse 23 tells us, the hour is here, and you are seeking those who will worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors, please. And may our children please come forward for the children's message, please.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing this morning? Are we good? Good. Glad to hear it. Well, let's see. We are in a time right now that we call Eastertide. So that's a period after Easter. And if you remember last week from our children's church lesson, We talked about when Mary went to the tomb to help finish preparing Jesus. And what happened? What happened when she got to the tomb? He was gone. That's right. And she was very upset, wasn't she? Because she thought somebody stole the body. But then there was a man. And do you remember what happened? What happened when the man called Mary's name? It was Jesus. You're right. It was Jesus there. And what Jesus said was, don't cling to me, or don't hang on to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. That means he had not yet gone to be with God. Okay? And so Jesus stuck, he kind of stayed around for about another 40 days. Why do you suppose he did that? I mean, he'd already been resurrected. He could just, go sit with his Father. Well, there was two very important reasons. The first one was to prove absolutely that he was alive. Because there were a lot of people who didn't believe him. Even some of his disciples didn't believe that he was alive. And remember, the guards were lying about what happened. So people didn't believe. But he kept appearing to different groups of people to prove he was alive. And the second very important reason, he still had things he had to teach his disciples. Because they had to get ready to receive the Holy Spirit so they could go out and make disciples of every nation. That's what Jesus told them they had to do. That's what we're expected to do. We're supposed to make disciples of people. We're supposed to share Jesus with the world. Aren't we? Yeah. Can we have a little prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit. May each one of us receive the gifts that the Holy Spirit offers, and may we learn to share them with others so they also may receive these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It certainly is our joy this morning to have Dan and Kathleen Cornwell back with us this morning from South Texas. Blessings to you both. And also Roger and Barbara Blakely are here in the service today. Bless you. We are delighted that all of you are here. We do want to lift up in our prayers this morning. The name is Johnny Steyerwalt, and he is the son of Psalm Bartley. Psalm and Glenn Bartley attend the 11 o'clock service as a general rule, but I'm understanding that Psalm's son, Johnny, was involved in a four-wheeler accident that has left him paralyzed from the neck down. So certainly a very serious matter, and we want to certainly lift him up in prayer as I learn more as time goes on here. I'll share that with you. Also, Catherine O'Neill is in our prayers. She continues to be at North Kansas City Hospital. She ended up with the coronavirus for a second time around, and because of her respiratory problems, that meant that she needed to go to the hospital. She is anticipating that she'll be moved to a rehabilitation center probably sometime after Monday or so of this week. We also lift up Val Stringer. She is now in the Grand Royale, which is just east of Highway 1 there in the Gladstone area. I've got her apartment information. I'd love to share that with you all, and I would encourage folks to go by and visit with Val. I think she'd certainly appreciate your visits. We also lift up Debbie Buzinski at Ignite, and Mary Otto is also at Ignite. Randy Squires, whom we've been lifting up in prayer for many weeks, the father of Jacob Squires. Randy and his wife were both able to be here at the 11 o'clock Easter Sunday service last week, and that was a joy to see them and worship with us. We also continue our prayers for Jerry and Betty Donahue, Ron and Karen Kennedy, Susan Hanks, Rihanna Ralston and Chris Ralston, and certainly Doris. In your family, we keep in prayer your sister Anita and brother-in-law Kurt in the midst of their concerns. Certainly many others we've been lifting up, but I think these are the ones for our primary focus today. And may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, as we continue our journey through this season we know as Eastertide, we imagine how wondrous it must have been for your disciples and other followers to marvel at the presence of your Son, risen from the dead, victorious over sin and even death itself. They could recognize Jesus and see the wounds in his wrist, ankles, and side, and yet marvel at how such trauma of his earthly existence in no way held him captive in his resurrected form. Such a display of Jesus' resurrected form gives each of us hope that we too, in our heavenly realm, will be recognizable to loved ones and friends, and yet we will also in no way be captivated by the burdens or troubles of our earthly existence. In this season of Eastertide, we also remember that the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, that in this earthly presence, our lives and our bodies are like the living temple of your presence here on earth, and that your Spirit dwells within us day after day. Thus, no matter what burdens we may bear, no matter what concerns may come our way, may the image of the risen Christ and the thought of your Holy Spirit dwelling within us always give us hope and encourage us to offer you all praise and glory as we journey through life with a lighter step and encouraged hearts. This we pray in thanksgiving, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last are laid down. I'll cling to the exchange it someday for a crown. Thank you. till my trophies at last all lay down. I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown.
There you go. Thank you so much. Thank you. Following his passion rather than his profession, in 1892, C. Austin Miles abandoned his career as a pharmacist as he wrote his first gospel song, which was published by the Hall Mack Company. He then became editor and manager of this music publishing company, and it was a position that he held for 37 years. Mr. Miles once said of himself, "It is as a writer of gospel songs I am proud to be known, for in that way I may be of the most use to my master, whom I serve willingly, although not as sufficiently as I may desire." Miles' hobby was photography, and he had managed to build his own darkroom for developing his film. One day he discovered that he could read his Bible in that special red lighting of the darkroom, so he often read passages of scripture as he waited for the developing process to finish. As a musician and a songwriter, he also found himself reading with the express purpose of getting ideas for Christian songs. On a particular day in March of 1912, when Miles was developing film and waiting for the process to be completed, he picked up his Bible. It had fallen open to John chapter 20. It's the story of Mary Magdalene's visit to the tomb of Jesus. And as she looked into the tomb, her heart sank because he wasn't there. But as she departed, Jesus greeted her, spoke to her, and she recognized him, and her heart was leaping for joy. Miles imagined that he was present with them on that glorious occasion. And as his thoughts returned to the business at hand in the darkroom, he realized that he was gripping his Bible, and the muscles, according to his own recollection, were tense and vibrating. Then he thought, this is not an experience limited to a happening nearly 2,000 years ago. It is the daily companionship with the Lord that makes up the Christian's life. With the inspiration of that moment, he wrote a poem, and as the words and phrases came quickly. That same evening, he also composed the music, and in so doing, Mr. Miles gave the world a hymn, a familiar one to us, In the Garden. It has inspired generations to imagine themselves being present with our Lord Jesus. And as we share in the bread and the cup of the Lord's table this morning, we are reminded that we are present with the Spirit of Christ in this moment of sharing. We turn to our hymn of communion, number 227. We'll sing all three stanzas this morning of In the Garden.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Ken leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, we ask you in your name to bless and sanctify those who receive them, that they may eat and drink in remembrance of the body and blood of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
In biblical times, a shepherd would have to give proof to an owner that a wild animal had killed one of his owner's sheep in order to avoid being accused of thievery. Imagine how difficult that task would have been if a bobcat or a mountain lion had simply snatched a young sheep and run off with it. The shepherd, poor as he was then liable for the payment of the lost sheep out of his meager wages. And this proves yet again just how challenging it was to be a shepherd in ancient times. Against this backdrop, Jesus declares that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, protecting us from the ravages of sin and death, as he did indeed on the cross. And yet our payment, by contrast to Christ's great sacrifice, is simply to offer a portion of our resources for the benefit of God's work here on earth, which we gladly do, as our leader first leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, bless all the people who have given offerings today to support your kingdom on this earth. Open the hearts to those who receive this help of spiritual gifts so that they too will serve you and give offering for your kingdom. Lord, help this offering to be used to where you want it to go for the name of your sake. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord God, may this offering be used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. You know, I have to let you all in on a little secret, and that is that those who attend worship the Sunday after Easter, y'all have front row seats in the kingdom. Did you know that? You may not want to pass that word around too much, though. You know, it really was a delightful Easter Sunday last week. We're so delighted that we had such wonderful attendance. We actually had over 350 people in our three services. I think it's been a long time since our church here has had 350 people. We had over 30 children. With our crosses that we flowered, we had well over a thousand flowers. So at 500 flowers apiece, obviously that filled up those crosses significantly. And the flowers even survived well into a Monday afternoon, even through the rain that we had last Monday. So hope it was indeed a wonderful occasion and a memorable time for all of you who were able to be present with. I share with you from God's Word, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as Sunday morning was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And suddenly there was a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they trembled and became like dead men. The angel spoke to the woman, "You must not be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised, just as he said. Come here and see the place where he is lying. Go quickly now and tell his disciples. He has been raised from death, and how he is going to Galilee ahead of you. And there you will see him. Remember what I have told you." So they left the tomb in a hurry, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Then suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Peace be with you." They came to him and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. "Do not be afraid," Jesus said to them. "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." May we offer a word of prayer, please. Merciful and loving God, as we seek your guidance from your holy word, may the assurances offered to us by Jesus and even by the angels of heaven give us confidence to live in peace rather than in fear. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is the second Sunday of the season that we call Eastertide. Eastertide begins with Christ's resurrection on Easter Sunday morning and continues until Pentecost Sunday, which this year will be the 28th of May. Many images and stories of Eastertide offer us hope, which is surely needed during any time in history. If we could travel 1,000 years into the past, or likely even 1,000 years into the future, it is surely, even in our own time, the fact that we'll realize that we would be greeted with troubles. For the forces of evil are always raising havoc and violence that disrupts the lives of many. No matter what period of time we live in, it seems that we can never get out from under that which causes us fear. And as we are focused on the stories of Eastertide this morning, we remember that as the disciples and other faithful followers of Jesus had experienced the unmerciful and brutal crucifixion of their beloved Rabbi Jesus on what we call Good Friday, and even in the hours prior to his crucifixion, surely they too were very much captivated by fear. Fear that they too could be rounded up and placed on trial and hauled off to face some kind of brutal death. And in fact, it might well have been that they just, forget the trouble of the cross, let's just stone them. Yet despite the fear, we know that Mary Magdalene and likely several other faithful women followers of Jesus, we know here in this text, it simply lifts up Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, but other gospel accounts certainly lift up other women's names. But here, they eagerly and faithfully emerge from their hiding place. For the first gray light of the dawn of Easter Sunday permits them the opportunity to visit the grave of their beloved Messiah. For the Sabbath is over and Sunday morning has dawned. They are eager to not only pay their respects, but they also want to make those final burial preparations, which they had to forego because dusk of Good Friday meant that the Sabbath was going to be underway and they could not finish what needed to be done. And as they approach the tomb, a miraculous event unfolds on that very first Easter morning. The earth shakes as if a violent earthquake is taking place. The stone is rolled away. An angel appears as white and brilliant as lightning, and even the angel of after rolling away the stone, sits upon it as if to say, "So there." All this created an experience beyond belief for Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and likely other women who had made the journey to the tomb. Yet even though there is much that we could strive to unpack from this experience lifted up in Matthew's gospel, the focus which I want to draw your attention to this morning is what the angel says to the women followers of Jesus, and even what Jesus later says to them. It can simply be put in two words: fear not. These are the all-important first words of the angelic host, even before instructions are given. These are the words they need most, for fear has hung over their heads ever since Jesus had been arrested, ever since Jesus was crucified, ever since they had been in hiding, even as they boldly made their way to the tomb to offer homage to their beloved rabbi. They needed the assurance that there was really, really, if you could believe it, really nothing to fear. Notice that even though there is a residual of fear for these women, there is also now joy. As the 8th verse says, "So they left the tomb in a hurry, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell Jesus' disciples. And although there was great wonder and mystery in the wondrous appearance of the angelic being, there was also a sense of direction." You know, we may have fearfulness about one thing or another. You know, like whether we have a job, or whether retirement's going to work out the way we hope, or whether we're facing a surgery, or whether we're facing an illness. But whatever it be, we all know that if we at least have some sense of direction, it takes away a lot of the fearfulness, does it not? If we feel like at least we kind of know where things are heading, it can offer us such a profound measure of comfort. And so we see here the angel giving the women a measure of direction and purpose. Fear not. And remember, go ahead, and we want you to get to Galilee, you know, which is familiar territory to them. Remember what Jesus has said to you is also a major phrase here in these gospel accounts of the resurrection. Now, if that event in and of itself was not enough assurance, what is also remarkable is to recognize that in the next verses, suddenly there was the more miraculous appearance of the risen Lord Jesus. As Matthew chapter 28, verses 9 and 10 tell us, suddenly Jesus met them and said what? What does Jesus want to offer them first and foremost? Peace. Peace be with you. And they came up to him. They go down to the ground and they touch his feet, which was a way to honor a rabbi. And they worshiped him. Then Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." So see, again, we see this phrase repeated. "Don't be afraid." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there you will see me." Nothing more is told to us about this particular experience. But again, for emphasis in this morning's message on this second Sunday of Eastertide, we recognize that Jesus, like the angel, offers Jesus' followers an assurance of peace and encourages them to fear not. And he also gives them directions and purpose. Now, we also know, because there are different accounts of Jesus' appearances, that they don't make the trip to Galilee just immediately. They seemed to kind of dwell there in Jerusalem for a brief period of time before they make that journey. So I'm not sure why Matthew gives so much emphasis on the notion of got to go to Galilee, but the sense of direction is still there. And certainly there are many other events that happen during this 40-day time period that Jesus appears before his disciples and other followers in his resurrected form and before he ascends into the heavens. But there are a few assurances that we get from this text that can encourage you and me. First, we know the disciples and the other followers of Jesus are certainly living in fear with Christ's death on the cross. It's as if the forces of evil had certainly gotten the upper hand. But Jesus' resurrection from the dead defies the forces of evil and reveals the truth that the great power of our living Lord Jesus will prevail over all forces of evil for all time to come. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, the victory is won over Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the truth proclaimed in the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So for us then, when evil forces seem to surround us, it can seem that they have the upper hand, yet we too must find assurance in the truth that Christ's resurrection assures us that Christ will be victorious over evil for all eternity. Even as the text of Genesis 3, verse 15 offers the prophecy, at the very beginning of Adam and Eve and their transgression, the victory is already proclaimed. As Genesis 3, verse 15 says, he, meaning again the Savior, will crush the head of the serpent, or Satan. The second thing that you and I must realize is that this first Easter Sunday, as our risen Lord makes his appearance to his disciples, he is revealing that he will be with them. Jesus will be present. In like manner, we must abide by the assurance that we can believe that the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ abides with us indeed through the blessing of the Holy Spirit in a most miraculous and wondrous way, and wants to give us guidance and comfort no matter what we may face. Now, we don't have the privilege of seeing Jesus just right here in the very moment, but the more we read the gospel stories, the more we immerse ourselves in the stories of Jesus revealed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the more the very essence of Christ's meaningful presence can abide within our hearts and minds, and therefore indeed in our spirits. So you see, we don't just do Easter and say, hooray, Jesus has risen from the dead, and then walk away from that as if to say, well, that's that. No, we want to abide in this season called Eastertide because we remember that Jesus dwelt among his followers in this spiritual yet somewhat physical essence, his resurrected form before his ascension, and he did so for 40 days. That is what convinced them that indeed he was the risen Lord, victorious over sin, victorious over evil, victorious over even death itself. When we live with that perspective, there is nothing that can come our way that can overcome us, for we live today in the victory of Christ. If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to also come forward, become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to hymn number 226, He Lives. We'll sing all stanzas, please. 226.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever others say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. May we offer a word of prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to feel your presence and indeed realize that we are victorious over all concerns by your great grace and by the love of Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we offer this prayer and thanksgiving as we depart your house. Amen.
Thine is the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory Thou, O death, hast won. Angels in bright raiments roll. rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave clothes where thy body lay. Thine is the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou, O death, hast won.